Most of us over the festive period have put on a few pounds, but we're talking this morning about those who are seriously or even dangerously overweight. Should obesity now be classified as an actual disease? The Royal College of Physicians thinks it should be. But what do you think at home this morning? 03030 80 55 55. On the line with us, Tam Fry, the chair of the National Obesity Forum. Good morning to you, Tam. And Dr. George O'Neill, Belfast GP. Good morning to you, George.
Good morning, Finney.
We'll start with you. George, the Northern Ireland Department of Health says that 63% of adults here are either overweight or obese. That in itself is a startling figure.
It certainly is. And you think one third of our primary school leavers are overweight or obese. I mean, it really is. And they're the future. So really, it is a major public health problem we have, but I must disagree with the College of Physicians. I think obesity causes disease. It can cause cancers, blood pressure, cardiovascular problems, strokes. It's a cause. It's a bit like smoking and alcohol. Smoking is not a disease, but smoking can cause disease. Excess use of alcohol is not in itself a disease, but it can cause significant problems.
But many would classify, George, alcoholism as a disease.
The effects of the alcohol cause symptoms which result in injury to your body, but taking alcohol in itself is not an illness.
Alcoholism? That actual addiction to alcohol?
There is certainly a problem with addiction to alcohol, but it is often due to problems other than... there's usually a dual diagnosis with alcohol. There's usually a mental health issue with it as well. So it's a complex area. But getting back to the obesity, my view is obesity is it's a lifestyle issue, and it is something that has to be addressed through public health.
Okay, Tam Fry, you'll know many will agree with George there in that if you decide to eat something, it's largely up to yourself. You pick something in a supermarket, you cook it, then you eat it. You put it into your own body, so you are creating the problems.
Well, I'll disagree, I'm afraid, with George. The basis of my disagreement is that for 20 years, the World Health Organization has designated obesity as a disease. And back in 1997, it wrote to all the governments in the world saying a pandemic is on its way. You really have got to do something serious about it. And when that news came to England, we did nothing about it. And the result is that we have the figures which you have just described.
Well, explain to Dr. George O'Neill, he's on the line there, Tam Fry, why you're so passionate about this.
I'm so passionate about it because of the little attention that has been paid to it. And what is well documented, and I'm sure that George knows this, is that there is a genetic dispensability towards obesity. There may not be a single gene which causes it, but a collection of genes together predicate that people are going to have real difficulty in keeping off their weight. And if there is any good to come out of this particular controversy, it is that decision by the Royal College should actually emphasize to people that they've got to be doubling their efforts to keep themselves in shape, because the genetics dictates that they are going to put on weight, and therefore they've got to be particularly careful in what they eat in order to keep it off.
George?
Well, which in essence of what more or less agrees with what I'm saying. But this obesity is due to lifestyle. If you moderate what you take, you will not end up becoming obese. Now, obesity is a bigger problem than just genetics. It's associated with poverty, deprivation, with mental health issues. It's a complex area. I accept that totally. But I do not accept that obesity in itself is an illness. It merely makes an excuse for people to go down a particular route. And certainly, in my experience, people who do reduce their intake lose weight and feel better for it.
An excuse? Is that a little bit heartless, George, to use that line?
Well, it may sound heartless, but I think we have to have courageous conversations with our population and point out that the cure for this is not in the illness service in which I work. The cure for this is where they adjust their lifestyle to ensure that they're eating food in quantities that does not result in obesity.
But the people who have tried to alter their lifestyle are still finding it difficult to keep the weight off. And that is where the genetics comes in.
And I think that is really down to a discipline. And this is where we can help people. And I think really the illness service which I operate has a role to play. People can be directed towards certain organisations which will start you off in the process, which will help you. I think there are people who may need some sort of surgery which will help them indeed. Yeah, I accept that totally. But overall, where we have so many people who are overweight, the solution is not in the health service. The solution is in the individual changes their lifestyle.
But there's another thing, George, which I believe with respect you have missed, and that is that the Royal College, by asking for obesity to be designated as a disease, will actually spring the money which is needed for people like you who are doing a great job trying to keep people in shape, which at the moment is proving very difficult all over the country. A lot of Tier 3 and Tier 4 operations are being starved of cash because there is no cash coming from central government, and what the Royal College wished to do is to remind the government that these services are woefully inadequate in the United Kingdom and that they really have got to put some money into it.
And I agree entirely with that. I agree 100% with that. In fact, the problem we have here in Northern Ireland is that we spend less than 2% of the total budget we spend on health and social care, on health promotion and disease prevention.
I had the idea that we were not a million miles apart. We're both coming to the need to provide a solution from different aspects.
Agreed 100%.
Okay, so there we go. End of conversation. But I wish that the government would actually treat obesity seriously and do something really good about it. At the moment, all we have from Matt Hancock, the health minister, is that he says obesity is not a disease and I'm going to cure it by sending messages to obese people on Facebook. That is a load of rubbish. First of all, we've got to realize that not everybody who is a fat goes on Facebook. And secondly, the nudging theory, which is what Hancock is proposing, has been proven over the last 6 or 7 years to be a waste
okay.
of time.
Tom, can you explain to me, you would agree that obesity is becoming more of a problem. So say 20, 30, 40 years ago, it wasn't as big an issue as it is now.
Absolutely.
So why, if it does fit under that disease category, why has it become more of a problem in 2018 than it was in, say, 1970?
Essentially because in 1970 we had a totally different lifestyle. People were working a lot, the manual labour, even the housewives in the house, hoovering and everything, they were all expending energy, which is now no longer spent by the labour-free.
But does that in itself not explain that this is not a disease, that this is due to your lifestyle and the decisions you make, whether to get up and hoover or whether to get up and eat something?
Yes, but the other problem, of course, is that we have food now, which is in proliferation everywhere, but is less than healthy. Back in 1970s, we didn't have so many fast food outlets, which spring up everywhere on the high street, selling very cheap but very delicious, allegedly, food, and that is causing obesity as well. So,
yeah, but it's almost like saying, you can correct me here, but some will say if cigarettes weren't as big an issue 40 years ago, if they were more prevalent now, people are deciding to smoke more now, that would cause more cancer. But does it mean that that's a disease, or does it mean that people are making that decision themselves?
No, it doesn't mean that it's a disease, and I would agree with that. But the problem is that now, with the food, we have a huge number of families who are very short on cash, and therefore they cannot buy the really healthy food which they would want to buy, and then they have to depend on the processed food and the ready-cooked food, and that is the problem. We have an abundance of sugar in all our food, which itself is a contributor to obesity, and I'm sure that George will agree to that. What we've got to do in order to conquer obesity is to actually create the environment where it is possible and easier
okay.
to lose weight and maintain that weight loss, which we can't do at the moment.
George O'Neill, there are many that disagree with you, not just Tam Fry. For example, I was looking through some of the letters in the Times. Professor John Halford from University of Liverpool, he says obesity is a chronic disease with distinct biological, genetic, psychological, environmental and situational drivers. A disease with distinct biological drivers. That really prints it in black and white, literally, for you.
Well, if you are overweight and you reduce your intake, you will lose weight.
So what about those people that, simply cannot,
really,
through whatever battle they are going on, let's say if it's psychological, in their own head, and they physically cannot?
Well, it's up then to the for the health service, stroke illness service, to provide the support.
And would it be easier for that?
Would
it be easier for the NHS to try and tackle that if it was something that they approached as a disease?
I don't think so. I think it's like smoking. It's like excess alcohol. This is educational. We should start looking, and you'll hear me again and again going back to this, Vinny. We are missing a trick. We should be looking at the education system to teach the future generations what to eat, how to eat, how to ensure they don't become obese. We are not doing that, and we are ignoring that at our peril.
Here I would agree again with George. Education is fundamental. The problem, however, is we have tried to educate adults. Adults are very badly receptive to education. What we need to do is to educate children in school and then hope that the education then stays with them for the rest of their life about a healthy lifestyle and exercise.
Okay.
But here you're talking a generation. What we've got at the moment is a tremendous problem today, and today nothing serious is being done.
03030 80 55 55. We'll take your calls in a moment. First of all, though, journalist Niamh Horan. Niamh, you've been on your own kind of weight loss battle. This is a few years ago now. But how do you feel about this suggestion that obesity should be addressed as a disease?
Just from my own personal experience and from what I've seen and heard with people around me who've lost weight and who haven't lost weight, is that if you're going to call it a disease, I'd say it's more of an emotional and psychological one than a physical one. You know, I think that a lot of it's not a disease, it's more a mindset. And I think a lot of people who find it difficult to lose weight find it difficult to kind of empower themselves to be able to do it, partly because of the fact they're surrounded by so much junk and sugar companies need to be taken under control, but also partly because of the fact they're being constantly fed these messages that it's not your fault, it's in your genes, it's in your family. The amount of pieces I've read this week from people saying, I've accepted that my weight was my responsibility. Why couldn't even my doctor? I mean, it takes people themselves to decide, okay, no more. I want to kind of do something about my health.
So you think that some people would maybe even latch onto this as an excuse? I think one of the other contributors already mentioned that, but an excuse that, you know, for example, I'm overweight, but I can't help it because it is a disease. I would like to change it, but I can't.
Well, more even than an excuse, it's kind of a comforting thing to think that it's not your responsibility. And if you see across the water, an entire nation has resigned itself to the fact that I think about 1 in 2 are obese. They don't seem to be doing very much about it. And so you can see what happens there when you decide to just kind of give up and say, look, it is what it is. Okay. I mean, one of the biggest things that have changed since the 1960s and 70s, even more striking than our lifestyle, is our attitude towards weight loss. Like back in the 1960s, I think there was about 9 out of 10 people had attempted to lose weight in the last year, right? In 2010, that was only about half of the adult population. So people seem to be more and more resigned. I am what I am, and that's not going to get us anywhere.
Stephen in Antrim, first call of the day. You've got a question for George O'Neill.
Well, I was basically calling to say that I enjoy listening to George O'Neill, even though what he says sounds extremely simplistic. That is, that if you take in more calories than you need, you will put on weight, and the opposite, obviously. If you eat less than your body requires, you will lose weight. But there are so many complex factors involved in this. I think my point is that people need to decide, almost like Niamh was saying about the mindset. I would ask Niamh, is that a fixed mindset or a growth mindset? And I say that with tongue in cheek. But
when you say, is it a fixed mindset or a growth mindset, as in?
Oh, the famous, what they're teaching in schools here at the moment, the Carol Dweck's theory that you're born, if you like, with either a fixed or a gross mindset. And,
I'm a big believer in the power of the mind. There's nothing you can control in this world bar your own mind. And if you can develop a positive attitude and take responsibility and empower yourself to make changes in your life, I mean, even studies show, I know there's a lot of people giving out about making New Year's resolutions and that. They are usually successful. Even if people don't have a 100% success rate, you can still see in August they'll do better than the people who never decide to change their lifestyle, whether it's diet or fitness or exercise. So even even the will to do something will make little changes, and it's just about to build on that, you know?
Okay, Stephen, thank you. Graham in Portadown. Good morning, Graham.
Good morning, Vinnie. Vinnie, I think this is a very dangerous path to go down. To classify obesity as a disease is dangerous. Obesity is, as I consider it, to be a symptom of an underlying condition. You don't treat an underlying condition by treating the symptom. And anyway, that probably only applies to a very small population of 60-odd percent who are obese or clinically obese.
63% here, 63% of adults here are classed as either overweight or obese.
Yeah, you overeat. You're obese because you overeat. It's very simple. But what you're doing is creating a crutch, which means that they can go out and shove. These people who are so minded can go out and put maybe two burgers and a bottle of Coke down their neck every night and go, well, I've got a disease, the NHS will cure me. It won't. There's no cure for obesity. It's a mindset. You either get over it or you don't, or manage it.
Okay.
This is just a crutch for the NHS. It's a sort of Damocles hanging over the NHS.
Okay, Graham, thank you. Tam Fry, just going back to another issue, and that is that some believe classifying it as a disease would ensure that more resources and stronger action is available to try and tackle it. But surely that they're there already, and people, you know, if it's the result of obesity, or if it's actually, say, for example, a stomach stapling, etc., that's already there and it's already available in the NHS.
It is available, but it's not utilised. We have only about 5,000 to 6,000 operations for bariatric surgery, which, as you know well, is a cost-effective surgery, whereas countries of a similar size like France have something like 25,000. And what we are not doing is putting money into the services which George O'Neill provides in order to make those people who are obese less obese and be able to get on with life. And it has been shown many, many times that if obesity triggers diabetes type 2, then bariatric surgery will actually remit the diabetes type 2, and that will save the NHS a sack of money, as well as be extremely productive for the people involved.
Michael in Newton Abbey. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Vinny.
Go ahead.
I'm listening to the discussion. There's quite a lot of emphasis being put on lifestyle and what we eat. But, I mean, it's not just what we eat. It's the amount that we eat and the time that we eat are also very, very important. I mean, as someone who used to work in sports and coaching, I used to talk a lot to the young people about the importance of getting not just the balance in terms of the carbohydrates and proteins, etc., but in respect to the time that they're eating their food and the volume. And if one can balance that and recognize the importance of that, then you do end up with a much better lifestyle.
Do you believe it's education then, Michael? Because I don't know many people, and this is maybe unfair, that don't know if you have a chippy every night, it's going to be bad for your health, or if you don't eat fruit and veg, it's not good for you. Surely we all know the basics.
Well, we might know, but whether we actually are prepared to do something about it, and that is the lifestyle. Do you have the willpower to turn around and recognise that the chippy at 11 o'clock at night after doing activities or perhaps just sitting on your backside for the evening and so on?
So what difference would education make there? Like we know the facts, but many of us are making a specific decision regardless of those facts.
Right, yeah. Well, let's put it this way. If I know, for example, that the fast food outlets are readily available to me at 11 o'clock at night, and I know that by going to that, I'm going to contribute to the possibility, not just of obesity, but coronary heart attack or whatever the case may be, then surely there may be the avenue of going down legislation. To legislate for the likes of closing these places earlier, perhaps, to restricting the likelihood of people eating at such and such an hour. I mean, you and I both know that come weekends, people go out, and I would disagree with this aspect. They go out, They drink. And what's one of the first things they do?
A big chippy. Yeah, I love a chippy after a night out.
Absolutely.
Or a Chinese.
Are you telling me then that perhaps the drink is a contributory aspect to your common sense telling you, you know, hold on,
but
I
you,
should
you
not
say
be
that
doing,
though, but
doing
people,
that?
People again, people are aware. So if I did that, for example, went out and had a few drinks, got a Chinese on the way home, the next day, or you know, at the time, I'm aware of what I'm doing, and then I maybe, and I'm aware that I might need to balance that out. You know, that the next day or further down the week.
Open at that time, isn't it?
Yeah,
but
why restrict the option? Give people the options, and or instead of forcing them, you can't eat this because it's closed at this time. My point is, give them the option, and then if you've had something bad, the next couple of days, just you know to try and balance out your diet. Maybe go for a run.
It is one thing to be given the option, if you want to call the choice. It's another thing to be totally and completely and absolutely aware. But let's look at prevention rather than cure.
Your prevention is by shutting
by legislation, by education and legislation.
Yeah. But you want to restrict this manual by actually shutting takeaways, for example.
No.
At a certain time of night.
That might be just one. But what about looking at the way the food is made? Let us look at what is in the food. Let us look at the contributory aspects to the processing. Let us look at those as well.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, it's an interesting point that Michael is making.
It's a holistic argument.
Tam Fry, is that something that you would consider, that route, if you try and actually reduce and maybe to an extent restrict the options available, people won't be able to make those bad choices?
Well, I think Michael's hit it on the head in the sense that he's talking about reformulation. And there's a lot of work being done with the industry on reformulation. The problem, however, is that certainly the people in Westminster believe that industry is not working hard enough. And we have had announcements from the Chief Medical Officer for England very recently saying that industry has got to work harder or there should be legislation. Now, I would prefer that the industry worked harder and made the food more healthy than it is at the moment at the processed end, if you will, rather than bringing in any kind of regulation. But the problem is that we have now got such a number of people who are overweight or fat, that we've got to do something fairly drastically, fairly quickly, otherwise it's going to get worse. So reformulation of food to make it possible when you go down to the chippy that in fact you have chips which are fried properly, that the portion of chips is less than it is at the moment, and that the fish is of a moderate size.
You're making me hungry.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm making you hungry, and it's only, what, 9:30 in the morning?
No, it's a bit early for a chippy for me.
It is a bit early, yes.
Let's go to Norman in Bangor. Good morning, Norman. Do you like a chippy after the pub at night?
No. I've cut it all out. My wife makes her food at home, and maybe if people, instead of getting Chinese and getting fish and chips, maybe the family's made a meal in the home for their children.
Sometimes, though, Norman, the issue is that the fast food, the food that's not as good for us, is cheaper.
Funny, you can make a meal far cheaper than you can buy a Chinese or a fish supper.
Have you not had you've had a bit of a battle with your own weight?
Yes, funny, and I have lost 3 pounds over the weekend because I've cut out the sitting eating in between meals. So I eat one meal a day now.
So, and this is a very rude question, and you can tell me to get lost, Norman, it's no problem. But
right. What
weight were you at your heaviest?
I was 16 stone.
I'm not familiar with
that myself.
And I have
diabetes. And from I've went on a diet and brought my weight down to 15. The nurses told me I'm doing well now with my diabetes.
And what were you eating? What kind of things, bad things, were you eating?
I was eating biscuits and crisps in between meals. And I've cut all that out.
So you were eating chippies and stuff as well, were you?
Time, and that does me the next morning. I eat a round of toast and a cup of coffee in the morning for my breakfast. But you see, funny, the children, they're sitting behind Xboxes and computers in the home. Mm-hmm. When I was at school, we were out to sports grounds. You were always out. You were always active. And that's why the children are obese.
And I get that, Norman. But you also admitted yourself that you were active as a kid, but you were still overweight as an adult then. And you can look at, you know, adults at the moment, 63% are overweight or obese, and kids. So it's I don't know if it's fair to say, oh, it's all the kids' fault because they're not moving. You know, there's parental responsibility here.
If you're talking about education, children, well, then you educate them to get out onto the sports field and get themselves active. There's my son. He's 48 years of age, and he's like a bean pole from his wee boy. He eats crisps when he comes here. He drinks Coke. He eats all the fast foods, but he's active every day, working and on his feet all day. So he's working the weight off.
There is a
Can I come in there?
Yeah, yes, Niamh, go ahead.
Can I just one thing I learned. Your other caller talking about reformulating food. We've seen that with the food industry before, with when they tried to take sugar out, and we saw low sugar and low fat and how disastrous that was. We all learned that's wrong as well. So I wouldn't trust food companies that are just trying to make money. And the second thing is, I hear these constant things, and I see our government do it here as well, about get out, get fit, get active, because they don't want to challenge food companies. The only truism that I've learned that rings true about when you hear all diets advice that's all contradictory is you can't out-train a bad diet. 99% of it is food. And you don't need... I used to kill myself constantly in the treadmill. I used to go an hour every day trying to outrun all the sugar and the junk I was eating. I gave up sugar almost a year ago, and I don't need to look at calories. I don't need to look at what I'm eating. I don't put on weight. It's not... It's literally sugar, 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 and it is
difficult.
Real food, and not
it's a lifestyle choice. Funny. There's no good saying it's a disease, the same as smoking and drinking. I used to do all them things. They're not a disease. They're a lifestyle choice you impose on yourself. And if you put your will and your mind to it, you can overcome it.
Even if your caller is listening today and they decide to start off on Monday morning and I'm going to have 3 meals a day, but I'm going to make them really big, and I'm going to load them with rice, and I'm going to load them with potatoes, and I'm going to have oats in the morning just to get me over the worst part when I cut out sugar. And if you'll realise that you can actually reduce that as time goes on, but you're sticking to 3 real meals every day, not ones that you buy in the store that somebody else
that's easier said than done, Niamh Horan, and you know that. If you're a busy parent or you have a busy life, it's not always that easy or straightforward to go and make a meal from scratch.
Sometimes
it's cost more.
My oats this morning is oats and water in a bowl and putting in the microwave. So how much easier do you want than that?
So porridge for dinner?
In the morning. And then if you make your dinners in advance in a slow cooker on Sunday night. The bottom line is, if you want to do something, you'll do it. And if you don't, you don't. And that's what comes down to mindset as well.
Okay, Niamh Horan and Tam Frey.
Depends on what you want it.
Thank you very much. And thanks to Dr. George O'Neill.